I'm sorry if you're coming for a Mother's Day sermon that's sort of mother related. We're going to continue going through Psalm 19, if that's okay. And so you're just coming into the middle of a sermon series on God's Word, Sweeter Than Honey, sermon series, and I hope that you enjoy it. I will say that if you're a mother this morning and you want to leave a godly heritage, a heritage that lasts for your children, then God's Word will be central to your life. So that's as much mother advice that I have this morning. You know how to do it. You know how to be good mothers. But I will just say that I had a great mother, and for me, particularly looking back through the years, I'm very much aware that that it's God's grace, and not everybody has been privileged to have godly mothers. I had a godly mother, and so not everybody has that privilege, and I understand. I'm sad if you didn't. Great as your mother may be, but I appreciate the godly heritage that my mom shared with me and my dad, and it was all centered around His Word, and I see no way around it. God's Word is central to being the best mom that you can be. So we've been looking at Psalm 19, looking at God's Word. I'm going to read the chapter. It's a short chapter, and then we'll look back and continue this series. And as a Mother's Day gift to you, and so that we can make the restaurants quickly, I'm going to try to preach quickly. Although, again, if those of you that come on a regular basis have the wisdom of years to know that that promise is probably not going to happen. So we're probably going to preach long. We like it that way. We like it that way. Psalm 19. Amen. Look, we don't show up. We don't have Sunday night service. We don't have Wednesday. You know, this is the one time. So keep you a little longer. Or we could start doing Sunday nights. Let's just preach long. Let's preach long. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of God's hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. So talking about the world and the heavens declaring, there's no voice. There isn't speech that says it. We can look and see that the heavens are declaring, not with words, but it's a declaration nonetheless that God is creator. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them, God, He has placed a tent for the sun, and the sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So even the sun tells us about the grandeur of God. And so we talked, so let me pause as we read. This is what we would call general revelation. This is God's revelation of who He is through creation. It's a general revelation that everybody that has ears, everybody that has eyes, can see that God is big. Somebody did it. Every design requires a designer. Verse 7, we get into more specific revelation. We call this special revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect. This is God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me from hidden faults. Also keep back your servants from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless. I shall be acquitted from great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth, verse 14, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that your word would go forth in the manner in which you've promised, that it will be a word that is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between spirit and soul, that your word would go as a seed into our hearts and plant and return fruit. And Lord, help us to have tender soil in our hearts to receive the word now that will be fitly spoken. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the law of the Lord. I was reading this week God's word and had such a great experience this week because I set up a bird feeder in front of my office window. It's tilting. So it doesn't look great, but I'm going to fix that. But I'm reading, and the birds can't see me because there's a screen there. So I'm sitting, I'm reading, and I'm enjoying watching these birds, beautiful birds, fly up 3 feet from me, and I'm just watching and reading, and it's like, wow, these birds are beautiful, and I love birds. Kelly hates birds. We know that. I love birds. She doesn't like the bird feeder there because she has to walk through that entrance. But that's life. And so she's just the secretary, right? I'm the pastor. So it's a beautiful thing, these birds. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, again, just how great creation is. And a God that so wonderfully is not a boring God, a very creative God that created so many different beautiful things for us to behold. And what a gracious God that birds have multiple colors and they're beautiful different songs. It's not boring at all. God's so creative and so wonderful, all for us, for our enjoyment. And moreover, to tell of God's glory. As we look at birds and we think, wow, it's a beautiful creation. God is big. He's majestic. He's very smart and very creative. God is so good. And yet, the creative work of God in creation, the general work of God in creation, pales in its capacity to accomplish things for us. And so as we see two different books, the book of the world, the book of general creation, and then we see God's word contrasted, and we see, oh man, creation's so big, and yet we have a copy, hopefully you have a copy, of God's word so much greater in its capacity to work in our lives and to accomplish things for us. And so as we've been looking through this, we've looked at the six different, every line here has six titles, a title of God's word, a characteristic, and a benefit of God's word. And six times we read of the Lord. So we have six times where we see six different titles of God's word, six different effects or attributes, and six effects of God's word. And so we've talked about already the law of the Lord is perfect, not as opposed to the law of the Lord. This is God's law. Consequently, these six titles are like, I read this week and it's interesting. It's almost like we have a diamond, a multifaceted view of God's word here that is comprehensive. And so we have a big landscape here to describe how great God's word is. And so he describes it. Not six different things. They're all the same thing, described six different ways. So God's word is the law of the Lord, and it's perfect, not as opposed to imperfect, but more comprehensive. God's law is comprehensive in its capacity to restore, convert, renew, change, make better the soul. The very inside of who we are, the part that science can't get to, the part that science can't figure out. What is the soul? You know, nobody knows what the soul is. It's the part that you can't describe and nobody really understands. It's the part deep inside of you. God's word has the capacity, comprehensive in its capacity, to convert, change, make better the soul. There's nothing on this planet that promises that could do that. If there were, I mean, they sell pills all the time. They lose weight, pills, they hardly ever work. I know there's several of us in this room that sell these supplements. You know, I'm taking one of the supplements. It smells like shellfish. It's horrible. And it's supposed to help with back pains and things like that, to be honest. I don't know. Maybe I got to. The thing is, I can't hardly swallow them. They're horrible. They taste horrible. They smell horrible. I'd just as soon take Advil. Just me. Oh, but that's not natural. I mean, it works. It works. You know, if they had a pill out there, a supplement, that would promise that all your troubles would go away, and all the hurt of the abuse and all the things that you've struggled with for your lifetime, all of those things deep inside that psychology and your counselor can't even get to, all that stuff, if there was a pill that somebody could sell you at the convenient and low price of $19.99 for a month's supply, you know, it would sell out. If it worked, it would be front news, Nobel Prize. It would be the biggest thing. Nobody could stop talking about the scientist that invented the pill that was able to take care of the stuff that you can't take care of. And yet, so, well, I wish there was a pill. See, it's not a pill. It's a book. It's not a pill. It's a book. We have it. This book has the capacity to comprehensively deal with the stuff that's inside, fix it, convert it, change it, restore it back to new. Nothing can do that. God's words, the law of the Lord, that's the title, the characteristic, it's perfect, the effect. It restores the soul. Last week we talked about the testimony, God's own witness about himself. That's what this is. This is God's bearing testimony about who he is, what he's about, what his way is. This is it right here. This is God's testimony. You want to know God, you have to know this book. This is the testimony of the Lord. This is what he says about himself. Right? This is it right here. The testimony of the Lord is sure, trustworthy, a word for trustworthy. You could tell me a story and it might not work. I love the testimonials on these. I'm thinking about these pills. And I love, I'm not making fun of it. I do genuinely like to watch testimonials where people say, especially if I trust the person, you know what I mean? You watch, oh, I lost all this weight. I don't know that person. They could be paid actors. Who knows? But I know these people, and they're like, I had this problem. It helped. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, testimonials are what they are. Sometimes it's a bunch of nonsense. It's made up. It's hard to trust people. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? It's hard to trust people. Politics, we're starting to get into this a little bit, where it's like, oh, I'm not sure who I can trust. Listen, you know the fact of the matter is you can't trust any of them. Let's just be honest. Let's be bipartisan. You can't trust anything anybody really says, especially if they have politician in their name or in their title. Senator, Congress, forget it. Testimonies are only as good as the person who's giving them. So we have the testimony of the Lord. That there is trustworthy. It's trustworthy. It's sure. And it's sure in its capability to make wise people out of simple people. We talked about it last week. What is that? It's the simple person is the person who hasn't decided what they're going to do morally. They're open-minded. Listen, open-mindedness is not great. That's so great, you're open-minded. Listen, at some point, you have to close your mind and render judgment on what God says is important. Open-mindedness is okay when you're a child, when you're in school, so that you learn things. But at some point, you close your mind and say, I know what I know. And God's word is trustworthy. It's trustworthy. I trust it. I believe it. That might make me closed-minded, but it makes me wise. And if you're not, you're simple, open-minded, foolish, no capacity to know truth from wrong, always riding the fence. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm going to serve Jesus. I believe that this book is true and right and accurate. I don't believe it because it's a fairy tale. I believe it because it's true. And I would stake my life on that opinion. Oh, that's very closed-minded. That's fine. It's closed-minded. But I'll be counted as wise and not foolish. Amen. Is that where you are today? Then today, the precepts, the title, new title, the precepts of the Lord, the precept is a principle, it's a doctrine, it's something, a truth that we learn in God's word. That's what a precept is. Right? So a truth, it could be, you name the truth, okay? That's a precept of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord are, that's the title, the precepts of the Lord are right. That's a word that means to set a path straight. This is what this means. So the precepts, the doctrines of the Lord, the things that we learn, the truths that are in God's word are right in the sense that they set a path straight. So when we read God's word, we have doctrine or beliefs and truths that without them, we're over here doing this and we're over here messing around over here and it's folly. Does that make sense? God's word gives us principles and precepts that keep our path straight and right and accurate. And without it, we get off on tangents and we start doing things. What is to be lost? I mean, we talk about, I'm a believer, I'm saved, right? Everybody talks about that. What I'm saved from what? I'm found, I've been found. Well, what the opposite is to be lost. How many have heard that term? That person's lost. You know, what is lost but that they don't have direction? What is lost but that they're completely rudderless and without any kind of compass to know what's north, what's south, what's east, and what's lost but that? What's lost but not to know where you are on a map and you have no direction of where you're going? What's lost but that? What God's word does is give direction, gives us a compass with precepts and principles that are right, and they set our path right. And without it, you're lost. You're lost in a very real sense. You're lost in a very spiritual sense. You're lost. It's profound how many books that we read, self-help books and things like that. I was looking this week at how many thousands of copies of self-help books are sold every month, and it's absolutely amazing. And we even talked about it last week about how many books are sold, how many books Lifeway, I'm not against Lifeway, but how many books Lifeway sells, the Christian books distributor Lifeway. And it's like just tens of thousands. It's so much time and energy to read books from Christian distributors, but not so many Bibles sold. I would venture a guess that there's more Christian books read than there are Bibles read. So the answer here is not what people think they know about what the Bible says. The answer is learning the precepts of God right here in this book and saying, God, we don't need to know anything else. We've got it right here. This is what God says. This is the precept of the Lord, and it's right, and it's going to set my path straight. The precepts of the Lord, then that's the title, the characteristic. It's the precepts are right. What do they do? When you find a precept, the precept of the Lord, right? You have the precept, you have a teaching in God's word, and it's right, and it sets the path straight. What that does is the effect that has is God's word says it rejoices the heart. It brings joy to the inner person of who you are. How is that important? How does that work? Well, here's how it works. Because if this is right and this is the right path, then generally speaking, I'm in good territory. I'm avoiding a whole bunch of pitfalls, right? If I go off that trail and I come over here and I start getting into danger zone, I start getting into trouble, what happens? Not only do I get hurt sometimes, but then the opposite of joy comes into my life, and that's grief, distress, hurt, pain. I find it interesting. I find a lot of things interesting. Here's one. You go, not this church, present company excluded. You go into a lot of churches, and it looks like the people are just can't wait to leave, to be honest. You know what I'm talking about? No smiles. So tired of being here. I'm not happy. No joy in my life whatsoever. It's an indication, I think, that you're not in the book. Because when you're following the ways of Jesus, you're, in general, a happy person. Not perfectly happy, but there's a deep-seated joy inside of you that not circumstances can remove. Sourpuss faces. You know what I'm talking about? So, well, I mean, has it ever occurred to you that God is infinite in all of his attributes, and one of his attributes is joy? God is infinitely joyous. God never has a bad day or a down day. Has that ever occurred to you? That the God of the universe that we serve is always happy and joyful? Do you know that the closer we get to know this God, the happier and more joyful we are? The reason why we have such, one of the reasons why we have such a down culture in our churches, it's so, forgive me, but dead and boring, is because many people don't have the joy of the Lord. They have, you go to a football game, there's plenty of joy, plenty of excitement, plenty of energy. Go to church, and it's pulling teeth, baby, it's pulling teeth. Sometimes it's hard to preach. Preaching, is anybody awake? Hey, this is God's house. God is infinite joy. Overflowing joy. Is that speaking to anybody today? Or is it just me? God's word, the precepts, have the capacity to make a path straight such that It brings joy into your life. The precepts of the Lord. Smile a little. Just a little bit. I don't do. I practice this sometimes because when I play music, I'm playing, I'm listening, I'm trying to sing, and I have to think. And so I don't do it a lot, but I have to think. Smile. It's hard to smile and sing at the same time. It's hard, but I try to practice that. When I smile, man, smile. God is good. If we'd be better students of this book, maybe we'd be more joyful people. Maybe we'd be more joyful people. And in the interest of being speedy, we're going to go on to the next. The precepts of the Lord, that's the title. The attribute that it has, or the attribute or the characteristic that it has, is that it's right, and the effect, it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The number four title, the commandment of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord. What is it? It's pure, right? It's pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord. I just wrote a couple notes in my Bible that I found helpful. Commandment, not suggestions. Commandment, not opportunity for debate. Commandment, not let's take a general consensus about whether or not we should do this. Commandment, not let's vote on it and see if now this is past due in its time. Commandment, not as in man can veto it because this is 2016 and that sounds like something from 2,000 years ago. This is not suggestion. This is command that we're talking about. Is anybody following this command? Now, sometimes we give suggestions. I give suggestions to my kids all the time. And although I don't call them commands, sometimes I give commands. Go do this. And somehow that gets turned around into, like, they think that I meant suggestion. You know what I'm talking about? That ever happened to you? Alvin, did that happen to you when you were... Sometimes you say something, and then all of a sudden, I don't know how, but it got turned into, I don't think he really meant that, or maybe he meant for tomorrow, or, you know, those kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. And I said, no. When I said that, I meant now, and I meant thoroughly. Not like when you thought, not when you thought was important, now. Command, different than suggest, different than let's get around and discuss. And somehow we come to God's word like that all too often. That's not for me. Not important. A commandment of the Lord. Everybody following that? The weight of that? The commandment of the Lord is what? The commandment of the Lord is pure, a way of saying lucid, easy to see. It's a way of saying clear. The commandments of the Lord are not meant to trick you. The commandments of the Lord are meant to be clear, and they are clear. Anybody have any problem understanding thou shalt not? That's pretty clear. And we're not talking about just the Ten Commandments. We're talking about God's word seems to be pretty clear. Not terribly confusing. It's not in God's interest to be confusing. Unlike some of the laws that we have on the books tax-wise, the reason why there are audits is because the laws aren't clear. Does that make sense, doesn't it? There would be no audits if there were if everything was clear. It's not clear, so then the government makes it unclear so that they can go and mess with you. I believe that 100%. They're there to harass you. unclear laws, unclear, is it loophole this, loophole that? You know what I'm talking about. Now, God doesn't work that way. God has no interest in deceiving you. God's way is pure, it's clear, it's absolutely understandable. His commandments are so clear. The commandments of the Lord are clear in such a way that they, here's the effect, they enlighten, I love that, they enlighten the eyes, the spiritual eyes, not the physical eyes. They enlighten the eyes. They enlighten the eyes. It sounds so arrogant sometimes, but I think that we need to sound, maybe not arrogant, but assured of something. If you're a believer in this room today, then you have answers to questions that the world doesn't have. Do you understand this? That you see the world, if you're a believer and have a biblical worldview, you see the world more clearly than any lost person could possibly see the world. So I have all the answers. And you tell them, and sometimes it comes across arrogant, but no, the fact of the matter is that, oh, you know why you're struggling? I know the answer. You thought it was because of this or that. We know that it's because sin. We've got, see, as Christians, we have the answers for how to be truly happy. We have the answers for how the world began. We have the answers for how the world will end. We have the answers for why things happen that are bad. We have all the answers. We have all the answers. And there's a world out there that's debating all these things. I know the answer to that. I know the answer. They don't want to hear our answer. But the fact is they don't have enlightened eyes. Our answers don't sound good to them. But the fact is they're the truth. We have the answers. The world's trying to figure out all these things. No, we know how the world is going to end. We're aliens. We have answers for that. We have answers for, we have scientific answers that the world doesn't understand. We have, I mean, it's just, you name it, we have the answers to it. We have the answers to why are we here? All these big questions, we have the answer to that. We have the answers to everything. Why? You know why? Because God's word, because we have God's word, that's why we have the answers. We have his truth. We have been enlightened. And isn't it strange that we have the answers and yet the world is trying to shut us up? That's strange. We have the answers. No, they don't want to hear the answers. You know, philosophy, I love that. You take, there's people that go into philosophy class, and the thing is, philosophy is about trying to find the truth. You go into philosophy class, and you share the gospel, and you give them all the answers that they'd ever want, and then, of course, there would be no need to get the degree at that point. It would be pointless. They don't want to know the answers. The world likes questions. The world's not interested in answers. God's interested in answers. The world doesn't want to hear answers. They just want to think and have questions. So no, we have the answer right here. It's God's word. Here's the answers. And the world's going to label you as bigoted and small-minded. What about all, who's right? All these religions, who's right? We have the answer. Here's the answer. Oh, no, we don't want to hear that. You're bigoted. You're small-minded. You're narrow. You know what I'm saying? At some point, we get to the place as believers where we just have to say, I stand on this book. This is what I believe. This is what I believe. I don't believe it because I'm smart. I don't believe it because I'm dumb. I believe it because there's wisdom in it. This is God's word. I believe it. Hey, everybody's got to believe something. I'm agnostic. We talked about it last week. I don't know. No. The thing is, you want to be ignorant. We have the truth. And if we have the truth this morning, and I just want to encourage us today, if we have the truth and it enlightens the eyes, isn't it part of our job to go into the world and give them the truth? So that at some point, other people that are blind have the truth. We say, I want to help you. Oh, I've got answers to your questions. You've got questions, I've got answers. I've got a book here that shares the answers. God's word has the capacity to enlighten the eyes, to convert the soul, to make wise people out of simple people. This is the answer. We don't need psychology. We need more Bible-ology. That's not a word, but that's what we need. I just want to challenge us, and mothers, having trouble at home, God's word. Struggling today with your world, get into God's word. He's got answers. Struggling with a spouse, a child, God's word has answers. God is good. He has no desire to be murky about his truth. He's so clear. It's just a matter of saying, God, I trust you. I'm going to be a student of the word. If you want to be a great mother, and we have many, many great mothers in here, if not every mother in this room, great mothers, be a student of God's word. Be a student of God's word. Study God's word to our church. Be a student of God's word. And I don't like that. I don't like saying student like as if we got to learn it. Be a follower of God's word. Apply it. Apply it. Lord, we love you. We ask that you'd be with us now. And Lord, bless us. Keep us for your sake. We ask that we'd be students of your word in a very real way. We students, followers of Jesus. For every mother here, we pray grace over them, blessing over them. And while the piano plays, I want to invite you, if you need prayer, we're going to have some people up here to pray for you. If you need prayer this morning, but I want to invite you, even if you don't need prayer specifically, if you want to pray for our church, there are a lot of hurting people in our church. I want to invite you to come up if you want to pray. We want to be a house of prayer, a church of prayer today. And so if you need prayer, we're just going to take 2 or 3 minutes this morning to pray. And again, if you need someone to pray for you, we're here. If you want to pray for our church, pray for those that are hurting, we're a church that wants to pray for you. We want to bless you. And we're just going to give a few minutes. Come forward. We want to pray for you. We want to bless you. And come and pray for others. Intercede for our church this morning.